You might want to grab a Bible today and turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, we're going to look at a pretty extensive passage of Scripture here in a few minutes. In fact, we're going to roll into chapter 8. And when we get there, you'll recognize that we as human beings, we're the ones that invented chapters and verses that they weren't really there to start with. And so there's a continuous idea that we'll see flowing into Romans chapter 8 today. And today we're embarking on the 60-60 experiment. And we're walking together through this book called Soul Revolution. And I believe that if you will go with us on this journey, on this 60-day journey, that you will experience a level of intimacy with God that will revolutionize your life. I believe that if we will go all out, if we will pour ourselves into this, I believe that we will grow in unparalleled ways in our lives. Now, these books are available before services in the coffee bar and the Sunday blend. They're also available down front here today. There's a box up here, and if you don't have one yet, you could take one. And they're only $7, and you can put $7 in the offering at any time. Just write small group on the envelope. You'll be good to go, all right? We would love for you to walk through this with us in a small group, all right? If you're not in a small group and you'd like to be a part of one, at least during the 60 days, for the next couple months, come and see me after the service. I'll see if I can get you hooked up with a small group. And it will just enhance this experiment for you. And if you're reading, or if you're going to begin reading, you're going to want to read chapters 1 through 3 this week. All right? So start reading chapters 1 through 3. Try to digest that. And then if you're in a group, you'll have a chance to go and discuss with your group what God's doing in your life through the 60-60 experiment. You know, if you read the Scriptures, if you read the Bible from the beginning to the end, you'll see that we were created to be in an intimate and loving relationship with God. You will see that we were meant to do life with God at the center of our life. If you begin reading the Bible, in the beginning you'll see a guy named Abraham who lived about 2000 BC. And you will see that this guy Abraham was called the friend of God. And he was called the friend of God because he and his wife Sarah trusted God and followed God. In 1500 BC, God gives these words to Moses. He tells him to tell his people to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And Moses tells the people of God that a full life is a life lived in a loving relationship with God. In 1000 BC, you see David pen psalm after psalm, song after song, if you will, that expresses his love for God. And he continuously is singing about how awesome God's love is. If we fast forward to 32 AD, Jesus reiterates the words that Moses wrote when he says the two greatest commandments are to love God with all that you have and love your neighbor as yourself. The Scripture goes on to tell us that Jesus came to demonstrate God's love for us. That Jesus lived and served and loved so that God's character would be revealed to us. And ultimately, he demonstrated God's love for us by dying on the cross, dying for us to pay the penalty for our sin so that we might be restored to this love relationship with God that we were created for. Now, if you read all the way to the end of the Bible, if you get to the last chapter of the last book, you see this picture of eternity. And what you see there is what God calls his wedding day. When all those that are pledged to him are united with him in love. We were created to live life and to do life in a love relationship with God. We were created for intimacy with God. We are designed to live in God's love and with God's love and returning love to God. Now, the real question is, the tough question is, how do you do that? What does it look like? Well, the Scripture is clear. We don't have to wait until eternity to experience God's love, and we don't have to wait until heaven to love God in return. So how do we live in an intimate relationship with God here and now? What does it look like? How can we make that happen? How can you live in a way that your life is defined and marked by your love relationship with Almighty God? How do you live life with a God that you cannot see or hear or touch? Well, that's what the next 60 days is all about. That's what we're going to be experimenting with so that we can learn together how to know God, how to walk with God, how to love God. Now, before we get too far into this, there's some things that we need to know about God. And there's some things that we need to know about ourselves. Amy and I were in Hawaii last month, and we were staying in a part of Oahu that we were not familiar with. And so we basically had to learn our way around. And lucky for us, we had the ultimate travel survival guide and tool with us. We had our iPhones. And we have Google Maps on our iPhones. And there were several times during our stay that we just said, wow, good thing we have our iPhones. How did we ever live without them? We literally said that, as if we couldn't live without them. The deal is, if we hadn't had our phones, we would have needed something else to guide us. We would have needed a map or a guidebook or a literal tour guide. In fact, I like to be prepared. So in anticipation of our trip, I bought a guidebook that we reference as well. I took a look around the internet for tips for our trip. I wanted to be prepared for our trip. We needed navigational assistance. We needed a navigator. I needed a navigator. I was driving. My hands were on the wheel. I was steering. And Amy, with the help of our little friends, was navigating. Now, if you know me, if you've been anywhere with me, you know that I don't like travel surprises. I want to know where I am and what we're doing and where we're going. And let me tell you this. All of my preparation does not mean that I don't get lost, because I do. In fact, I am the master of the U-turn. Amy will tell you, we've not been on a journey. It has not been a journey. It's not a real trip until Craig makes a U-turn. Many times, she gives me good instructions, and I still make a wrong turn. But I can admit my mistake and turn around. Now, here's the deal. I don't want to be that guy that will not ask for directions, because that's just pride. If that's you, you're just prideful. I'm sorry. Back in the day, before we had the world at our fingertips, you had to stop and ask for directions. Man's refusal to do so is legendary. But so often it seems that's exactly how we live our lives. We live without direction. We live without guidance. We live with pride. You know, before there was ever a movie, Titanic, there was really a Titanic. And while our primary point of reference may be the brilliance of a movie that would appeal to men because things blow up and people die, it also appeals to women because there's a touching love story where the hero, wait for it, dies. And we get this point of reference from Hollywood, but the Titanic was a legitimate tragedy. And the tragedy of the Titanic occurred because the captain believed that his ship was invincible. He believed that it was indestructible. And this erroneous belief caused him to ignore good and sound advice. And pride destroyed his ship and cost him his life, and it cost many other lives as well. In fact, all but six, as I recall. And folks, in many ways, living our life without God is like living with our own personal Titanic. It's like living without the guidance that's necessary to navigate a successful trip. And we often live like our fathers and their fathers before them, who refused to ask for directions. and we take charge of our lives and we call the shots and we are captains of our own lives, and if we live this way, we are going to be lost, and we may eventually end up hitting our own personal iceberg, and devastation and destruction will ensue. And here's the thing. We may only see the tip of the iceberg. We may only see divorce, a failed marriage or two, resentment, anger, worry, stress, working too much, drinking to relax, drugging to have fun. We may only see the tip of the iceberg. The tip of the iceberg for you might be that people don't do what you want, that people don't make you happy. And after the iceberg rips a hole in our lives, we put things in our lives to try to patch the hole. And we have all of these coping mechanisms, but nothing can patch the hole, and there is definitely a leak, and the ship is eventually going down. And for some of us, if we don't recognize that soon, we will within 100 years for sure. In Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about the frustration of living this life on our own. Listen to what Paul says. He says, this is what life is like, living apart from God and living in sin. Verse 15, he said, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. We can relate to that, can't we? See, I remember trying to live that way. I remember life where I felt like I had to prove something. I had to do good. I remember trying to do good. I remember trying to do good to prove to God and to the world that I was worthy and lovable. And the truth is, I failed. And when I failed, I felt guilt. And I didn't like feeling guilty, so I did what we all do. I vowed to do better. I'll try harder. I'll give it another shot. This time I'll do better. This time I will succeed. So I tried harder, and I failed again, and more guilt came, and so I vowed again. I'll do better. And you try again, and you fail again, and you experience more and more and deeper guilt. And you ride this vicious train until the guilt turns into shame. And that's what Paul's talking about in Romans 7. It's not just that I fail. It's that I'm guilty, and my guilt leads to shame. And I'm ashamed that I cannot do better. And I'm ashamed that I cannot do well. And it's not so much the things I do wrong. It is that deep down inside of me, there is something wrong with me. And we keep living this way, and keep living this way, and we're just miserable. And that's what Paul says in verse 24. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? See, this feels like death. Living this way feels like death. And eventually, what we all begin to feel is condemned. We feel condemned, and we're like, Well, if God's going to condemn me, then I quit. And we just get rid of God. If I can get rid of God, then the guilt will leave. God is out of my life. God is out. Guilt is out. Some of you have done this in your life. Yeah, sure. If I asked you if you believed in God, you would say yes, but God doesn't really have anything to do with your life because you kicked him out a long time ago because you were tired of feeling guilty. And so in your life, God does his thing in heaven and you do your thing on earth and you don't talk about it. That's your arrangement. But the problem is that when we live with sin, guilt, shame, and condemnation, and we push God out, we end up hiding our guilt and denying our shame, and we end up blaming other people. And then we get stuck, and we become very defensive people. Now, check this out. This is what we must understand. It is not God that wants us feeling condemned and living guilty and burdened all the time. That's not God. See, God comes along and rescues. God comes along with a lifeboat for our Titanic of a life that we're living. Verse 25, Paul says, thank God. Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. All right, continuous thought, chapter 8, verse 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. I want you guys to understand the scripture, and I want you to understand that many times we'll take Romans 8 and chapter 1 and we'll let it stand alone. It's a part of this thought that he's having about this miserable life that he tries to live apart from God. See, God wants us to get off the ship of trying and failing and guilt and shame and condemnation, and he wants to transfer us to a new ship where we can be secure in what God has done for us through Christ. We have to get this. If we're ever going to grow to be like Christ, if we're going to keep growing to be like Christ, we've got to get this. God does not want us living guilty, burdened, and ashamed. God wants us to live secure in Him. He wants us to live secure in Him so that He can direct us and lead us to life. He wants to direct us to live in a new way. And so we make him the captain of the ship. And he becomes our guide for life. He calls the shots. Now, I want you to understand how God does this. I want you to get a picture of this. God does not lead us and guide us by beating us down. God does not captain us with an iron fist. God leads us as a loving father. God leads us in love so that we feel secure. And even when we fail, even when we miss the mark, we're still His child and He doesn't abandon us. He knows we make mistakes. He knows we mess up. And He lovingly continues to guide us in His love. And He never bails on us. He never tells us, okay, you're on your own now. He keeps loving and guiding and steering. That's the kind of God that He is. He's the kind of God that does life with us. It's why we call it walking with Christ. He is alongside of us. He's not ahead of us pulling us. He's not behind us pushing us. He wants to come alongside of us and lovingly guide us. My son Richie reminded me the other day about the head cup. See, what you do when your child begins to wander is you just cup the back of their head and lead them in the direction that you want them to go. How many parents have ever done the head cup on their child? It works wonders. It's way better than yelling. You just lovingly steer them back on track. When you're in a department store and they want to run under the coat rack, no, you just head cup, just steer them away from the coat rack, back to where you want them to go. It's a wonderful tool, parents. The head cup. That's what God wants to do. He's not waiting for you to wander so that he can smack you in the back of the head. He's not going to scold you. He just cups the back of your head and lovingly steers you back on course. Now check it out. This 60-60 experiment is all about learning to let God in to help us. It's all about allowing God to navigate. It's about allowing God to navigate. The reason that God sent Jesus to the cross was to forgive us and restore us and give us security so that we can live the full and abundant life that Jesus promised. And God wants us to be so secure that even when we fail, that when we fail, we don't want to run, we don't want to hide from God, but that we run to Him so that He can lead us. Pick back up in chapter 8, verse 4. He's talking about Jesus going to the cross, and he said he did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, who no longer navigate our own ship, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Ship, iceberg, hole, sink, death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. You see, just trying harder and failing is life lived on our own. God wants better for us. God wants us to be controlled by His Spirit. And when we let God guide us, the Spirit controls our minds, and that leads to life and peace. And even when we're failing, even when we're falling, God has a chance to guide us when we do life with Him. And that's how we grow. God guides us, and God causes us to grow. He does for us on our ship what we could never do for ourselves. Now, here's what happens when we give up control to God. All right, this is surprising. Here's what happens when we make God the captain of our ship. God says, "You steer." Now, that may surprise you, and it may seem contradictory, but check it out. Because, you know, we thought that God wanted to dominate and control our lives, but He says, no, you steer. Do you see how this works? God is the captain. He sets the course. He maps it out. God knows how to steer us clear. He knows how to navigate us away from iceberg. God knows how to keep us out of rough waters. God knows how to navigate through the storms of life. And God says, I know how to navigate, but I want you to steer. God says, listen, and I will show you where to go. That's what Romans 8 is saying. God does not take over our free will. We can still set our minds and grab the wheel and go right back to the stormy waters and to the icebergs for the rest of our lives if we want to. And you know what? If you do that, your ship might not literally sink, but you will surely miss the voyage that God has for you. Folks, this 60-60 experiment is about spending 60 days making an all-out effort to learn what it means to follow God's leading moment by moment and day by day. And I believe that if we learn to follow God's will moment by moment, that we will experience life in a way that we will never want to go back to rough waters or icy waters or any of those other kinds of waters of our past. It's why Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God doesn't force His will on this earth. We have to choose. We have to be willing. And that's what we're going to work on. We're going to work on being willing to follow God's leading. Now, here's the problem. We have been trained our entire lives to ignore God's leading. I want you to think about that and let it sink in. We have been trained our entire lives to ignore God's leading. We have been trained to chart our own course and ignore God. All right, so this is how this 60-60 experiment is going to work. We want you to get this book, Soul Revolution, only $7. It's a really small investment. It's a small investment for your spiritual development. And the books are just to help us understand how this works. See, I can't teach you enough in 30 minutes each week for you to fully grasp these truths. And in each chapter, you will learn and grow. And at the end of each chapter are some questions that will help you keep going in the experiment. There'll be some tips to help you keep going in the experiment. And we just want you to read the book and try it and walk through it with some friends or maybe with a few other people, probably in a small group. So you need the book. And then the other thing that you need is a cell phone or a PDA or a watch or whatever is your choosing, something with an alarm on it. Something that you can cause to beep every 60 minutes. And you set the alarm to go off every 60 minutes. And the purpose of the alarm is to interrupt our habit that we were trained in. It's to interrupt our habit that we were trained in, our habit to ignore God for most of the day. Now, maybe for some of you, an actual alarm will not work well. The alarm on my iPhone works perfectly for me. If a literal alarm will not work, then use some post-it notes. Put them on your mirror, on your computer monitor, on your rearview mirror, on your fridge. Because we need reminders. We need some kind of reminder. And what the alarm does is it reminds us that God is with us. God is here with me, and He actually wants to help me. And so you just pause. When the alarm goes off, you pause and you consult the captain. Am I on the right course? Have I gotten off course? If you're off course, you thank Him that He's near, that He is present, and that He doesn't condemn you. And as we do this, as we allow the alarm to train us not to ignore God's leading, we learn to walk with God. You check in with God. And you get better and better at being aware of God's presence. And the next thing you know, you're consulting with the captain before the alarm goes off. Now listen to this. This is very important to know going in. You will not do this perfectly. All right, you got to get that. This is tough for somebody like me because, like, if somebody gives me a task, I want to do it perfectly. I want to do it the best I can. And if I don't do my best, I feel like a failure. You need to get this right up front. You will not do this perfectly. You got to get that. And this is difficult because you may not be where you want to be when the alarm goes off, if you know what I mean. To be successful in this experiment, you have to remember that God does not condemn you and that He is patient and that He forgives you. That's why He did what He did through Christ. Now, if you don't get anything else today, you must get this. The goal of the 60-60 experiment is not perfection. The goal is progress. We're trying to learn to listen and respond to God throughout the day. We're trying to learn to be in tune with God and in tune with His will throughout the day. And we will learn each day, and then we will learn from each other when we get together in our groups. Now, you will notice this right up front. Every time the alarm sounds, you will be reminded how well you've been trained. You will remember, every time the alarm goes off, you will remember how well you have been trained to ignore God throughout the day. I've already tried this. It's tough. I tried it for 30 days. It is tough. We are well trained. I'll tell you what this looks like in my life. I'm sitting at my desk working on a message to give to you on Sunday morning, and the alarm goes off on my phone, and I'm upset. Because, God, this is good right now. This message stuff I'm doing is really good right now, God. You don't understand. I'm like on a roll here. I'm preparing a message to deliver to God's people, and the alarm goes off, and I'm ticked off at God because my alarm went off. That's how well-trained we are. My task is more important than what God wants to say to me in that moment. You're like, oh my goodness. Craig's not very spiritual. If you know me, you know it. I've been well-trained to ignore God throughout my day. The point is to be reminded that God is with you. Stay connected. Stay willing and see what God will do in your life. Now, let me say this to wrap this up. I know that some of you are not really willing to do this. And the reason that you're not willing to do this is because you just don't trust the captain. And you don't trust him because you don't really know him. Some of you are not down with this because you think that it's just another hoop to jump through, you know, that we're trying to please God by jumping through a bunch of hoops. If you think that, you really don't know God. Some of you think that if you let God navigate your life, that he's going to run you aground on a desert island where you'll be bored and lonely and where you don't get to have any fun and you don't get to go out on Friday nights. And you feel that way because you don't know God yet. I want you to come to know the true and living God. I want you to know Jesus, who was literally God in the flesh. He came to reveal God to us. Now, if you want to know what God is like, then look at what Jesus did and taught on his last night on earth. You can read it in John chapters 13 to 17. I want you to start reading John chapter 13, verse 17 today. And you might want to read it every day of the 60 days. I encourage you to go home today or tonight and read those chapters, John chapters 13 through 17. You'll see what Jesus did, what he said, the last night he was on earth. The last thing that we do on our last moments on earth show what's important to us. If you want to know what's important to God, then read John chapters 13 to 17. I believe that you'll see a picture of God that you find worthy of investing 60 days of your life in order to know him more. In these chapters, in the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us that God is love. He loves us and he wants to be in an intimate relationship with us. And in those chapters, Jesus shows us that God has authority over everything, but he's humble. And he doesn't force his will on us. He waits for our willingness. And that's what we're working on, being willing to walk with God. And Jesus shows us that God is a servant as he stoops to wash his followers' feet. He shows us how love acts. He wants us to learn to love. In chapter 14, he tells us that God is a comforter and a counselor and that he never leaves us. And he continues and tells us that God teaches us what is good and what is true. And that God gives us peace of mind by walking with us and being near during our troubles and amidst our fears. And Jesus teaches us that he is the vine and we are the branches. And we must remain connected with him and engaged with him. And when we do, fruit grows naturally. And that's what we're trying to learn. That's what the hourly reminder is about. See, it's difficult to remain connected with God every hour of every day because we've been trained to ignore God every hour of every day except for 1 hour on Sunday. But if we can learn this, if we would be willing, and if we could learn this, I believe that we will be amazed at the difference that we see in our lives. When we learn to stay connected to God, we will be amazed at how many peripheral issues are non-issues. I mean, you know when you have one of those God moments and you're just overcome by God's goodness and you're filled with His joy? Some of you guys had a moment like that while we were singing this morning. Imagine that moment. Think about that moment. God wants us to experience that every day and every hour. God wants us to live with His presence every hour of every day. And God's presence brings joy. Joy is available every hour of every day. In those chapters, Jesus goes on to pray for us. And He prays that we will really know the true and living God. And He prays that we will experience His presence even during our darkest hour. When you read what God is really like, I feel certain that you will want to know Him better and that you'll want to stay connected to Him more. Now listen, this is not just an exercise for the sake of exercise. This is not a program. This is not Christian busy work for us. This is some teaching and a tool to help us learn to be aware of God's presence. And I want you to commit to the 60-60 experiment so that you may grow. Don't do it to please me. Don't do it because everybody is doing it. Just make the commitment. Get the book and get in a group so that you can grow as Jesus navigates you through your life. Would you pray with me? Father God, we are amazed at what You've done in sending Your Son Jesus for us. And Father, we have to praise You that we are not condemned because the blood of Jesus covers us. And God, my prayer today is that each one of us would just be willing. I pray for myself, God, first and foremost, but I pray for everyone else. God, make us willing to have our days interrupted. Make us willing to allow You to lead. And Father, I pray this morning, if there's one here who doesn't know You, who doesn't know the real You as revealed through Your Son, Jesus, I pray that today, God, You would make Yourself known to them. I pray that You would convict them of their sin and that You would show them, that You would reveal to them by Your Spirit that Jesus is the way of salvation. And I pray, God, that they would repent of their sin, that they would turn to Jesus, believing in His death and His resurrection as their Savior, their Forgiver, their Lord. And God, we pray for Your strength as we go on this journey together. We pray, God, first and foremost, that it would honor You, that it would bring glory to You. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.